really, let's sum up today. Today's message is this. Ready? Don't give up. Don't give up, man. God is with you. He is for you. He loves you. And he says, keep my word. Do not deny my name. And then you will not be disappointed in the end. There are people here right now, man. You are frail. You are hurting. You are sad. You are shedding tears of frustration. You are here in the midst of pain and different circumstances and trial. You're here today to hear this message. You are here today to understand what is most important and the reality of the gospel upon your life and mine. And that Jesus has such specific things to say to you that in the end, you may not give up. Why? Why? Because he's coming.
Hi, and welcome back to Live in the Light. Thankful, as always, that you have joined us here. A reminder that Live in the Light exists to see the radical transformation through the revelation of God's Word. What we pray happens in your lives as you open up God's Word is that God would meet you and change you, and, well, you would never be the same. Today we go to Revelation chapter 3, continuing on our series, A Word for the Church. And today's message is an incredibly encouraging message, right, Robbie? It's a letter to the persevering.
Yeah, a church that needed to hear this word as they sought to trust in the Lord, a word that we need to hear today. And just again, just imagine all our different listeners in the place that you're at, struggling or weak or fighting through doubt or trying to hold on and looking for faith. Isn't that like each day we live is kind of like that? And so this word comes to God's church right now with great purpose. And it is truly one of encouragement, and we pray will bolster your faith. So often we're kind of around God's word and this is what I should do. But right now, this is open for you and explained to you and taught to you. And can you be expecting like I am that God's going to speak to me and God's going to change me and God's going to lead the church because he's the one who's sovereign in control and he knows exactly what we need. He knows that we are his. And I could go on and on, but it's so encouraging to trust in him and rely on him and to let him change us to more like him as well. So another good day here at Living the Light. We're thankful that you're listening, and we pray you are greatly blessed. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's get right away to that letter to the persevering. The Lord Jesus says to us today, I am coming soon. Hold fast. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And here again is Robbie with today's teaching.
All right, Bibles open, please, to Revelation chapter 3. We have 2 weeks left in this series, A Word for the Church. Yes, we are going to finish this series, Lord willing, up until next weekend, which is Laodicea. And so that's right, we are ending this series on Christmas weekend with the church in Laodicea, where Jesus promises to spit people out of his mouth, all right? Yes, we are doing that on Christmas weekend, but we are trusting that God's going to use that for his glory and encourage us to not be lukewarm, but to be fired up for Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. But Christmas Eve, we will not be preaching in the church of Laodicea, all right? We'll be going to a traditional Christmas text, or at least on the themes of Christmas, which I'm very, very excited about, as I tend to be each year, as we get to proclaim the gospel to hundreds and hundreds of people who will be here for the first time or visiting who haven't been here much. So this letter today is letter 6 of 7. Today, we examine the church in Philadelphia, the original city of brotherly love. And this is a church that is distinguished in that there was nothing negative said about them. Jesus had nothing, there's no rebuke given to the church in Philadelphia. They were found to be a faithful church. They were not a large church, we're going to find out. They were not a strong church, we're about to find out. They were a faithful church. They were a persevering church. They were a church that was holding on to the cause of Christ, to the word of Christ, and to the name of Christ. And this is a very important thing for us to understand because, loved ones, really, let's sum up today. Today's message is this. Ready? Don't give up. Don't give up, man. God is with you. He is for you. He loves you. And he says, keep my word. Do not deny my name. And then you will not be disappointed in the end. There are people here right now, man. You are frail. You are hurting. You are sad. You are shedding tears of frustration. You are here in the midst of pain and different circumstances and trial. You're here today to hear this message. You are here today to understand what is most important. And the reality of the gospel upon your life and mine, and that Jesus has such specific things to say to you that in the end, you may not give up. Why? Why? Because he's coming. He's coming. He's going to reveal to you a life that you can't even imagine with new names and the eternal joy and infinite gladness of his presence within our lives. That's the message he sent to the church in Philadelphia. This is the message he sends to our church here today. It's a letter to those who are choosing to persevere. You're going to choose to persevere? That's the call for the Christian life. You got to choose to persevere. Now, as I think about this reality of persevering and the reality of the gospel and Jesus Christ coming and all the joy, all the blessing, all the mind-blowing truths that this relates to, I do find myself on that note, though, surprised at how sentimental I have become at certain times. I find myself getting emotional as I read certain books or hear different storylines, or let's say, see different movies. I find myself getting sentimental, and I'm going to admit that, okay, this is pastoral transparency right now. Okay, this is personal transparency right now. All right, so be kind. Okay, be kind. A while ago, I found myself shedding some tears at the end, at the end of the movie Frozen. All right. Now, before you laugh too much, let me remind you, Matthew 7 says, be careful to judge, lest you also be judged, all right? And the measure used against them will be used against you as well, all right? So you be careful right now what you choose to do, okay? And but at the end of that movie, I did find myself struck with some emotion at the reality of how, I didn't know anything about it. I have two young girls and all that kind of stuff, and we were there. And also, though, more recently, I was watching a movie that was in line with the Christmas Carol. It wasn't the Christmas Carol, and I'm not even gonna tell you the name of it, because that would be more embarrassing, but it was in line with the Christmas Carol and, of course, the story of Scrooge. And at the end, I found myself again being very affected emotionally. I'm just like, what is happening right here? And then a while ago, previous this year, my wife and I, this is on a more serious note, this is a fantastic movie. It's called Do You Believe? And it's by the same people who made God Is Not Dead. Like, I cannot recommend that highly enough to you as a powerful, powerful perspective on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they presented that in such a wisdom-filled way. And my wife and I mean, I'm there just tears streaming down my cheeks. And at one point, I'm just like, hey, why am I like this? And in one sense, I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why would I even begin to be such impacted by, I mean, I get, do you believe that? But when things like Christmas Carol and then Frozen and stuff like that, I ask myself, okay, what's happening right now? Okay. And here's what I'm understanding inside myself. It's because I see the gospel. Okay. It's because I feel threads of the gospel. I hear, I see, and I am watching this. Listen, I am watching a longing for the gospel. Whether the script writers intend to do that. Okay. This has nothing to do with Elsa and Anna. Okay? No offense to the five-year-old girl who's here right now, and that's like your favorite thing in the world, okay? No offense, five-year-old girl, okay? Okay? It has nothing to do with Elsa and Anna. What it has to do with is the hope that is portrayed of all things being new, of harmony throughout the earth, of pain being destroyed, of sin basically gone, of light shining and evil being no more. Jesus Christ has created me as a child of God, and inherently then, I have an insane appetite and desire for full redemption, for reconciliation, and full restoration to God himself. We were created to groan for the things that are to be. We are created to long for and love for the reality that Jesus Christ is returning one day soon, and then all the heartache and all the pain and all the misery is gone. And if you're like me, my heart aches for this world. I'm so sick of the sin. I'm so sick of the darkness. I'm so sick of all the destruction going on all around us. And to imagine that one day it's going to end. One day he will return. One day sin will be defeated once and for all. One day Satan no more, and all the pain is finished. And the newness and the eternal life and the joy that will spring forward. I mean, how does that not fire you up? I mean, how does it not get the best from you and your life and why we live? You want to clap? Let's clap, okay? That's a good thing to clap for. Exciting. Now again, as I watch such stories, whatever the script writer intended, my heart goes to the promises of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm sitting on the couch with my girls and boys, and they're there, and they look over and say, "Mommy, why is Daddy crying?" Okay. I'm okay to look over at them in that point and get a chance to explain to them, "Dear, it has nothing to do with Elsa Nona. It had everything to do with the fact that Dad loves Jesus Christ a lot. And right now, Daddy's seeing the reality and a thread of the gospel and a picture. Our world is, all these stories, our world's longing for this. It's longing to be made right, longing to be made new. If only they would bow the knee to Jesus Christ. If only they would see that he's the answer to newness and life and purity and devotion and beauty and joy. But I get to look at my children and then say, explain to them, man, it's because your dad has been saved by Jesus Christ. It's a chance to share the gospel again. So I'm okay if they see me shedding tears over things they may not fully understand in the sense of we're watching Frozen right now. But they can hear me talk about the Jesus Christ that I love. And see, when I see this truth too, here's the point of all this. When I see this truth, man, it makes me not want to give up. When I see the thread of the gospel through all these different stories and the hope of what is to come, it's worth to keep walking. It's worth to keep persevering. It's worth to keep believing. And that is the message Jesus sends to the church in Philadelphia. This is the message he brings. He's like, "I'm writing to you who are choosing to persevere because of the reality and the glory and the power of perseverance. For those who do not give up. To those who look to him, who hold on to him, to those who love him." That's what our text is about today. Revelation 3, verse 7 says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia." Philadelphia was a missionary city, but not in the sense of the gospel. It was like a Greek missionary city in terms of Greek culture. They founded this city to spread Greek language and the Greek way of life. It had one of the grandest highways at their time. It connected the east and to the west, and it connected one continent to another. It was a beautiful city, a city subject to earthquakes, which is important for our text here as well, a city with a lot of blessing. But to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right, are the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut. This is amazing. And who shuts and no one opens. I know your works, church. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power. I love that phrase. And yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, Jews, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn, what? They will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell in the earth. Then verse 11, he says, I'm coming soon. That was a great spot for an amen. Do you want another try? Yes. Okay, verse 11, ready? I'm coming soon. Amen. If we say amen to anything, that's what we say amen to. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may seize your crown. Amazing. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Amazing. The New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Well, a letter to the persevering, as we've said, a letter to the church that was faithful to the Lord. And there we are called to persevere. We are called to be faithful. We are called, loved ones, today to not give up. Not give up. That's a word for many here today. Do not give up. Why? Why should I not give up, Robbie? Why should I persevere? Jesus, because he's speaking today. Five awesome reasons from our text today, okay? Five awesome reasons why we should not give up. Oh, we are called to persevere. Reason number one is this, because Jesus guarantees passage, okay? Jesus guarantees the way for those who trust him. He guarantees it. He's opening a door and no one is going to shut it. Again, verse 7, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. Okay, this truth right here in verse 7 is our supreme confidence in an otherwise dark and evil world. Our world is riddled with uncertainty and riddled with fear. But we learn here, right here, there is one who holds all the power. There is one who holds uncontestable control. There is one who grants passage to eternal life itself. Notice in verse 7, the words of the Holy One, the true one. So right away, we learn this. Jesus Christ is perfect. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is true. Everything he says, everything Jesus Christ says is. When he speaks, it happens. There's nothing he's not in control of. Again, he is perfectly unblemished. In our fake, disingenuous, superficial world, there is one who is true. Jesus Christ is true. I take nothing for granted. You are here right now, and you're surrounded in our fake, disingenuous, evil, superficial world. Jesus Christ says to you today, Jesus Christ says, I am the way. I am the way. There's no one else. I am the only way to life. I am the truth. I am the source of truth. He says, I am life itself. You're like, I'm longing for life. Jesus Christ is your answer. Jesus Christ is life. Jesus Christ is the passage guaranteed to eternal life. Jesus Christ is truth. There's nothing in him that isn't true. Every single ounce, percentage of him is embodiment of truth. This is our Savior. This is our Lord. This is Jesus Christ. The words of him who is holy, the words of him who is true. And we think about that, the words of him who is holy. This just in, loved ones, it's a renewed opportunity for powerful worship time. Really, it's an opportunity for a fresh look at the Holy One, the Savior, the baby born in the manger, the Son of God, the awesome I Am given to us, the Holy One. And so that being Christmas time, I'm very excited for times like these. Every time's a chance for worship time, but I think of Luke chapter 1 as Gabriel speaks to Mary, and Gabriel appears and he says, and the power of the Most High will come upon you, overshadow you, and you will conceive and bear a son. And it says this, and he says, and the child to be born to you shall be called holy, holy. Some of you are thinking the other gospels, which is so great. But this one called holy, and it says what? It says the Son of God. Okay, so Let's stop long enough right now to get a little bit of Christmas truth in our hearts and to wreck our minds in a good way, okay? So here's Mary. And the Holy Spirit says that you will conceive and bear a son, and he will be called holy. He will be the Son of God. So this happens, this supernatural conception, and Mary, a child begins to form in her womb. And let's just imagine this and understand this. Mary in her womb is carrying the Holy of Holies. Okay? Mary in her womb, not Mary, the child in her womb, holy, holy, holy. The holiness of God has allowed himself to be formed as a man in the womb of a woman. Awesome. Amazing. The words of him who is holy, and the Holy One has a word for the church. The Holy One is speaking right now, the one of truth, the only one who can be called this, the power and the authority of the universe. Again, is speaking. Remember, never underestimate the might found in the manger. Ever underestimate the might that is held and found within that manger. Again, look at verse 7, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. So now we start to learn about someone who's holding keys. Jesus Christ holds keys. Now, we've all been locked out before of something or somewhere. Locked out of our houses, locked out of our cars. Now, what happens when we're locked out? When we're locked out, instantly what takes place is we know the one who holds the keys holds the power. Well, when it comes to eternity and eternal life and eternal death, there is one who holds the keys. There's only one. Revelation 1 says, Jesus Christ holds the keys to death and Hades. Jesus Christ is the only one who can open the door to eternal life. Loved ones, why do we persevere in Christ? Here's why, because when he opens the door for us, it is staying open. Jesus Christ holds the keys to eternal life and eternal death. When Jesus Christ commands the blessing of his kingdom, the blessings are coming, okay? When Jesus Christ opens the door, it's being opened. When Jesus Christ says, I command blessing, the blessings are coming to town, okay? So you think Santa Claus is coming to town? Try this. Jesus Christ has come and Jesus Christ is coming again. And every door he opens is staying perfectly open. Every door he closes is staying shut. Why do we persevere? Because Jesus Christ has guaranteed an open door through the gospel. Spiritual eyes of faith right now, spiritual ears that can hear, what they see and what they hear is Jesus Christ has opened a door for you in the gospel. And when this door is open, he's like, come, my child, walk through this door. This door will not be closed. This door cannot be closed, loved ones. When he has opened this door for you in the gospel through his life, death, and resurrection, this door eternally will be open, and our job is to keep walking. Our job is to keep walking towards what we know is true, because this door will never be shut in your face and say, get away, you can't go. If you are genuinely saved in Jesus Christ, the door is open and will never, ever be shut. The longing for us and the desire, I must persevere because where else will I go? The open door of Jesus, world, the world, myself, you got to be kidding me. Listen. The heart for those who are here, you want to give up right now. Jesus Christ says, man, I've opened, you're saved. I've opened a door for you. Child, keep walking. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be great. Keep walking. Don't stop. Keep going. It's so much of the Christian life, isn't it? So on my desk at home, I had this little guy, which I kind of call little man, okay? And this was a gift given to me by a couple in our church, love them. And it's this little guy, it's probably like that big. And it sits on my desk and my books are, this is where I kind of write the messages and stuff. And I don't know how many times this little man's been encouraging to me, because there he is with his legs stretched out like he's walking. And it just says something so simple. It says, just keep going. Just keep going. And honestly, isn't this the Christian life? Isn't it? Isn't so much of what we're called to do to keep walking towards that which will be the fulfillment of everything we long for? But how hard it is, how frustrating it is, how difficult it is at times, how painful it can be, how much we hate sin, how much darkness tries to discourage, how Satan tries to tempt us to give up. But I see little man here, and the little man says to me, keep going. And how many times I've looked at that, it's been such a blessing to me. Because again, this is the call to perseverance. Why? Because the door has been opened. The door's been opened. We will not be disappointed. Loved ones, Jesus Christ guarantees passage. He guarantees passage. And we are called to not give up, but to walk. And on this theme of doors being open, look now at verse 8. Verse 8, it says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. Two possible meanings here. The first one is this: when the New Testament talks about open doors, it refers to evangelistic opportunity. So Jesus here for the church in Philadelphia is guaranteeing opportunities for the gospel in the church in Philadelphia. He's guaranteeing it. He's like, yeah, you're not impressive. You're small. You don't have much to offer in yourself. But he's like, but I'm with you and you'll have opportunities for the gospel to go forward. You know what that means too for us? It means that Jesus Christ is guaranteeing opportunities for the gospel to us as well. I want you, this is a great lead from Pastor Jason's message last weekend. Jesus Christ is guaranteeing us opportunities. You're like, oh no, man, the world doesn't like Jesus and people don't want to hear it from me. And I try to share my faith and then it doesn't happen and I get discouraged and I'm too afraid. All I'm saying is, okay, Jesus Christ is guaranteeing today there are opportunities for the gospel. You received your invites here today? You received your invites? This is an opportunity, to prayerfully consider this and to look at this and say, Jesus, I believe this is an opportunity. You will provide opportunities for me. But this is just an invitation to church. That's a lot easier. I believe God wants us to actually be able to share the gospel where we are and to meet people who we love, you see? But here what Jesus is saying. He's promising us, you will have opportunities for the gospel today, tomorrow, this week. Like, it's not just for like all the pastor and someone else. No, all of us. Why don't you hear that? He's like, I'm guaranteeing. It doesn't matter how dark the world gets. Jesus is not afraid of the world. Jesus isn't afraid of some army across. He's not afraid of some policy. He's not afraid of some movement in our society. I mean, Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is holy. He's true. Jesus is in charge. And Jesus says, I still got people I'm going to save. And I want to use you to do it. I want you to share the gospel. And I'm going to give you open doors. So the key is, when we see the open door, will we walk through it? Will we walk through it? And he's guaranteeing the opportunities will come. That's very, very exciting. But remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16. He says, it's important. A wide door for effective ministry has been opened to me. A wide door. And then he says, and there are many adversaries. So notice the promise of the wide door of effective ministry and the promise of opposition in doing so. Align your expectations with what the Bible actually teaches. It's going to be tough. It's going to be great. The second meaning in verse 8 here is that Jesus has opened a door for the kingdom of God. And as we have explained, as he opens that, no one will close it. Loved ones, why do we persevere? Because Jesus Christ guarantees passage to eternal life. Again, where else are you going to go? Where else are we going to go? We got to persevere, man. It's going to be worth it. Point number 2 is this. Why do we persevere? Because Jesus knows we're weak. Because Jesus knows that we're weak. Look at the second half of verse 8. I love this. He says, I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Okay, let's be clear. This is not a negative from Jesus. He's not like, you stink, you're weak. No, no, no. It's a positive, okay? So listen. In the Christian life and church, in the Christian life and in the church, ready? Weakness, to know weakness is strength. When we know we're weak, that's when we find out we're strong. The first beatitude given by Jesus is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are destitute in self, who know they have nothing to offer, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are in poverty of spirit and are so aware of their need of Jesus Christ, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You could do the opposite of that. Cursed is the individual who thinks they got it all together. They will not find the kingdom. Cursed is the person, man or woman, who finds strength in their own abilities because they are deceived. They will not find the grace and strength of God. But behind this beautiful phrase in verse 8, it's not great strength or great ability. Listen. It's great dependability. This is what's being said here. I'll say it again. It's not great strength or great ability, but rather it's great dependability that Jesus is commending in the church in Philadelphia. The church has little power in Philadelphia, meaning it's not some big mega church. It's not particularly strong. They're probably a bunch of poor people. But here they are, and they have the favor of God because they are not denying his word or denying his name. See, this is the recipe for God to work. This is the situation where God does his best stuff. Okay, ready. God's not looking for the powerful. God's looking for the faithful. And the faithful depend on him. God is not looking for the powerful, loved ones. He's not looking for those who have something to offer to him. He's looking for those who understand they are nothing, have nothing, and need him for everything. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. Let's just break down this little phrase in verse 8 in two ways. Let's break it down individually first, okay? I want you to hear this. I want you to know this right here. Jesus in this text says to us, he says, child, I know you're weak. I know you're weak. That's a word for some right now. You're here right now. And Jesus says to you, in your frustration and in your weakness and in your difficulty and in your pain, he says, I know you're weak. I know you're weak. Jesus says to us today, he says, I know you're feeble. I know that you're on the edge of losing it. I know that you have got nothing left in the spiritual tank. He says, I know you're feeble. And Jesus says this to you. He says, listen, I know you're sinful.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light. I want to be in the light as you are in the light.